You're listening to The Takeaway, and I'm Duarte Geraldino. Over the coming weeks, stay with us to hear from healthcare workers across the country, the doctors, nurses, and so many people who are on the front lines of this fight against COVID-19. And today, you're going to hear from two nurses. In some parts of the USA, nurses are already struggling to get the equipment and training they need to safely care for their patients while also protecting themselves from this disease.
We're very concerned because we do not feel that we're protected with the appropriate personal protective equipment, or PPE. It's been proven that the N95 respirators, in addition to sort of a hazmat suit, is what has protected healthcare workers around the world.
Judy Sheridan Gonzalez is a registered nurse at Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. She's also the president of the New York State Nurses Association. Without the proper protection or training, Judy says the risks of infection is high for her and her colleagues.
The difference between life and death, literally, for healthcare workers is having the appropriate protection.
Judy helps us put into perspective the impact that this pandemic is having on nurses in the U.S. Jean Ross is also weighing in on the conversation. She's the president of National Nurses United, which is the largest organization of registered nurses in the U.S.
When I was working yesterday, we had inadequate equipment, but we did the best we could. We have many sick calls because people are having symptoms. We've had outbreaks. We actually have a nurse in my hospital currently on a ventilator in the ICU having contracted the virus already.
It must be so tough when you see one of your own in the hospital, in the ER. When you go home, what do you do? How do your friends, how do your family, how do your neighbors treat you knowing that you're on the very front lines?
Well, you're kind of like a leper. People, I think, are kind of afraid to be near you because you could be a carrier. I just shed all my clothing as soon as I come in and put it somewhere else.
Jean, in Judy's experience, is that similar to what you're experiencing, what you've been hearing from nurses across the country?
Sadly, that is true. That's what all our nurses are telling us. We surveyed them at the very beginning of the crisis, before it was called a pandemic, which it is, of course. And people were saying, nurses were saying that they didn't have the N95 respirators on their units. As much as 65% of the nurses responding said that now it's down to 55. But we keep hearing about the stockpiles of these supplies for us, these protective equipment. And to date, no one can tell us where the stuff is. If we supposedly have these stockpiles and it will get worse later, fine. There may be a time to use last resorts. It is not now. It is not now before it has gone all out of proportion. And unfortunately, the words about how precious our nurses and health caregivers are, they're lies, because they're treating us as if we're expendable. And we are not. We do not want to see the public have to deal with a healthcare system that is devoid of healthcare workers, including nurses and doctors. And what's happened to Judy's coworker is going to keep happening and in larger volumes, and our nurses need to be prepared for it.
Are there any risks that are unique to nurses that aren't necessarily on the minds of other healthcare workers in the hospital?
Nurses have the most intimate, direct, and consistent and long-term contact with the patients because we're providing the direct care. And in some of the cases, they're not even allowing. In my hospital, they're now saying that they're not going to allow the CNAs, the nursing assistants or others, the phlebotomists, to enter the rooms, only the nurses. So now we're really super frontline, you know, constantly in consistent contact. And, you know, in any kind of an infection, it's how virulent the virus is and how susceptible the host is what gets you sick. So if you're constantly in a relationship, very intimate, close quarter relationship with somebody who is shedding virus, who is actively having the virus, who is transmitting the virus, you're much more susceptible, which is why you need the best protective equipment possible so that you can compassionately care for people without putting your own life at risk.
There are all kinds of healthcare workers that can help take care of a patient when you're in the hospital, but we are at the bedside. That's what we call ourselves, bedside nurses. So of all those other jobs, as Judy mentioned, that people can do, when it comes down to limiting exposure, the nurse is expected to do it. That's the way it's settled in many cases.
It's such a critical point. You mentioned being with the patients. When nurses themselves get sick, what does that mean for staffing and treatment of patients?
For example, in the emergency department, we had 14 sick calls on Saturday, and on Sunday we had 8, because people are trying to take care of their families. And as everyone knows, there's no school and people have childcare issues. Many nurses also take care of sick relatives, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and they're susceptible. So everybody's trying to manage their situation. We're also told many stories about if we have symptoms or if we don't, get tested, don't get tested, stay home, come back, change the guidelines. You can come in after 7 days. No, you can come in after 3 days of no fever. But in any case, we are having a lot of people unable to get to work. Some of them are quite ill. We've had outbreaks in some of our areas. Some are just trying to understand if they're sick enough to come to work. Are they more susceptible? Should they not come? How do they protect themselves and their families? How do they come to work and take care of patients and be sure that they're not going to get sicker if they do have any kind of symptoms? So it's a terrible situation. We're all trying to help each other, but everybody is basically terrified.
Jean, we know that 85% of nurses in the U.S. are women. Might COVID-19 therefore disproportionately affect women?
Well, for whatever reason right now, it doesn't seem to be so. It seems to be affecting men more. I know they were thinking that in China it might be because so many more men smoke than women, but I don't think we really know. And as Judy just said, the hand doesn't appear to know what the foot is doing here. Nurses, perform with a plan. We have a plan in mind. We know what we're going to do, but we need facts and we need science to go ahead and do it. And we need the protection. And there's another sad, very sad thing going on here. There has been a lack of hiring of nurses for some time now because our system is profit-driven. So when you start in quote-unquote good times without a pandemic, with not enough staff in your hospitals, look what's going to happen now. Then add to the fact that we are going to become just as sick as the patients, and we will be out in larger and larger numbers, whether it's in quarantine or actually illness from the COVID-19 virus. So that is a recipe for absolute disaster.
I would just like to echo what Jean is saying in terms of preparation. Because of the nature of the healthcare system and assorted other issues, we never were prepared for a disaster. After 9/11, I live and work in New York City, there were some efforts made to talk about disaster preparedness, but we have been telling our hospitals for the longest, stop closing beds, stop closing hospitals, start hiring nurses, start doing training, start preparations. You know, these viruses are increasing as a result of climate change and other factors. Let's get prepared. We were totally behind the eight ball, and it is absolutely unconscionable and unacceptable that the wealthiest country in the world, with the most resources, with the most of everything in the world, cannot protect its public or its caregivers faced with this pandemic. It is totally inexcusable, and we think that the government should demand and force or nationalize these industries that are making protective equipment to immediately produce what we need if there is a scarcity. Procure what we need if it's available, which we do believe enough is available for the moment, and make sure that we're prepared for the future as this thing worsens, because this is absolutely criminal.
Thank you so much. Jean Ross is the president of the National Nurses United, the largest organization of registered nurses in the United States, and Judy Sheridan Gonzalez is a registered ER nurse at Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx and president of the New York State Nurses Association. Thank you both for coming on the show. And again, thank you for your important work on the front line.
You're welcome.
Thank you also.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.